This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I am a lucky guy.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Some guy walks up to me in a Buccaneers jacket in the middle of Munich. He says to me, "Aren't you Susie Schuster's husband?"
No.
Why, yes.
Earlier on the show, director of HBO's Shaq, Robert Alexander, Alabama linebacker Will Anderson. Coming up, Tennessee wide receiver Jalen Hyatt from Netflix's Wednesday. Actor Luis Guzman. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We just hung up with Walter Camp, Player of the Year semifinalist Will Anderson Jr. of Alabama. We're about to say hello. He's scheduled a call in right now of Walter Camp, Player of the Year Award semifinalist Jalen Hyatt of Tennessee football. They're currently sitting there fifth, waiting for somebody to trip up.
Somebody to
just
slip up.
Swoop in and take that spot. Because the SEC always gets two teams because it just means more to them. And the Big Ten can go pound sand if they want two teams in. Just forget it. It's just not going to happen. Forget it.
Exactly.
It means less to you.
It's doesn't a matter. More, a doesn't more
matter.
Exciting
doesn't matter. Doesn't SEC, matter that there's two currently undefeated teams from the same conference in college football, and that conference is the Big Ten.
That's nice. Good for you guys.
And and it's set up for whoever loses when the two of them play each other in about 10 days.
All right, TCU has Baylor.
To slip out.
Just
the top four, and somebody just swoops right in and takes their spot. Bummer, because they lost sooner. Makes sense, right?
Makes sense.
And this is not me trying to set the table for what I think is an inevitable Michigan loss in Ohio State. False. I'm saying this. I'm saying this on behalf of Buckeye fans who will want this being said nonstop.
You really are jet lagged.
Not jet lagged. When it comes to this, I'm being clear eyed and full hearted.
All right, Coach Taylor.
Right now about this. So discussed it to start this program.
TCU has Baylor.
Give me something.
Thank you, Bruce.
TCU has Baylor this week and Iowa State next week.
That's great.
I'm just saying if they're gonna get knocked off as well, that's all I'm saying.
Well, and don't they have to play a championship game?
They do.
Right? I think they got to play a championship game too.
Yeah.
Right? And then there's Georgia. It's kind of crazy. Georgia LSU's already set.
It's locked in.
It's locked in.
Locked in.
Can't. So they got that going on.
Which is nice.
What if LSU wins the SEC? The SEC championship game winner doesn't get a spot in the college football Final Four?
Now they'll get a spot. They'll be the four seed. And just because of who they've beaten throughout the year.
And Georgia gets a spot because they were undefeated and they only lost one game to the eventual SEC championship game winner. And so the Big Ten champ doesn't get to move on. The Big Ten champ moves on, but the second runner-up doesn't go because they play in the same division. Is that what you're saying? Just want to know how this works.
Yeah, okay. Because Georgia's the defending champ, so they would make it.
Oh, okay, got it. All right.
Really, you don't want the defending champ in?
No, I don't.
Yeah, okay.
No, I don't.
I don't
believe
half of them are on the Philadelphia Eagles right now. Anyway, what do I care?
Yeah, that's true. They really need Jordan Davis. I'll tell you that.
So do the Eagles.
That's what I mean. The Eagles. That's what I mean. The Eagles. Okay. Yeah.
Joining us on the Rich Eisen Show, Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is somebody who's on the Walter Camp Player of the Year semifinalist list because he has just been dynamite. He leads the entirety of NCAA football in touchdown catches, getting set to take on South Carolina, where he's from. From the Tennessee Volunteer Football Program on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, Jalen Hyatt. How you doing, Jalen?
Hey, I'm doing good. How about y'all?
I'm doing fine. Walk me through your season and how you've gone from where you started to clearly the number one wide receiver on your team, if not all of college football. Walk me through that for you, if you don't mind.
Yeah, you know, just always putting in hard work. Just going back, just being in the just as far as my off season, just making sure, you know, I'm staying focused, making sure I'm being dialed in because, you know, we lost some talent last year. I knew I had to step up, and Not only that, we have a great quarterback, great coaching staff, and just me listening to my coaches, listening to Coach Pope, and just trying to get better every day during the summer. I think that was really the biggest thing that helped me throughout the season. So, you know, I'm very happy about what I've done so far, but we can take another step to where I want to go.
Well, I mean, you know, just researching, just looking back at the conversations about your team going into the season, and you definitely were not number one, if you will, on the depth chart or number one wide receiver, clearly far and away going into the season. Are you even surprising yourself with what you've done so far this year? A little bit?
You know, I'm not surprised just because – you know, I just believe in the hard work that I put in. You know, I believe in myself. You have to, you know, just be on the field. You know, you have to have the confidence of, you know, telling yourself you're the number one guy, even if you're not. So, you know, I'm proud of what I have done so far. But like I said, just, you know, the season's not over with, and we have a lot more games to play. And, man, I'm just excited about this team as far as what we have done and what we have accomplished so far.
What's your chemistry with Hendon Hooker, your quarterback, who's another Walter Camp semifinalist, Jalen?
Yeah, you know, great quarterback, just a leader in that role, leader for this team. And, you know, I knew him just really my freshman year of college. I knew him even before I came here to Tennessee when he was at Virginia Tech. And just having that connection with him just off the field, I think, just helped build what we have just on the field. So, man, I'm just blessed to have him as a quarterback and what he has done so far for our team.
Do you have, like, a chemistry with him where all it takes is a look and he knows what you're thinking, you know what he's thinking? Pre-snap?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. You know, we always give ourselves the look, and, you know, we see the coverage. We see what they're in, and, you know, we try to exploit that every time. And just with our connection, you know, we grew with it, you know, during the summer. So we just got to keep going and, you know, keep doing what we have to do.
And then you got South Carolina this weekend. If I'm not mistaken, you tell me what's true and what's false. You're from South Carolina, right? That's true?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir, I am.
South Carolina did not offer you. Is that true?
Yeah, they didn't offer me in high school, and you know, it wasn't, you know, it's not hard feelings or anything, but you know, I really wanted that offer, but you know, it is what it is, because you know, you always want the offer from your home state, so. But, you know, it is what it is, and you know,
I get it.
God has blessed me with other things.
So, I know that, and I get it, and I understand that you want to stay humble and that you're thrilled to be where you are, but is it true you want to lay it on him this weekend for that fact?
Oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to treat this like a regular game, just go out there and do what I have to do. But, you know, it's going to be a little more, just a little more in the tank, you know, just for this team. But, you know, just proud of what we have done so far.
Does the rest of the team know this? They must know it, right? They
sing something? Yeah, all of them know it. You know, all of them know it.
Oh, boy.
And it's just funny just being a part of this team as far as how everybody comes up to me like, hey, you know who we're playing, you know who we're facing this week. And, you know, it's just it's amazing to be on this team. And we just have to come out and do what we have to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then. So who do you model your game after, Jalen Hyatt? Who do you model it after?
You know, I have two or three that I, you know, really enjoy watching. Obviously, I love watching Devontae Adams. I think Justin Jefferson, what he has done so far, is especially this year, is just different. Just how he plays, how he moves on the field,
mm-hmm.
more of a finesse guy. And, you know, I really like how Justin Jefferson plays. And, you know, I try my best to, you know, kind of do what he does sometimes in his offense, but, you know, I'm still working on it, so I have some time to grow for it.
Did you see what he did in Buffalo? Did you see that one?
I said, trust me. I
mean, that was one of the greatest catches I've ever seen, ever.
Yeah, it's definitely going down in history books for sure.
So who's the guy you grew up trying to emulate at wide receiver when you were a kid?
Grew up.
Yeah.
You know, let me see. We were Colts fans at that time.
Okay.
And, you know, I was just trying to think at that time when I was young, just watching the Colts the whole time because my dad's a big Peyton Manning fan.
Yep.
So we always watched the Colts. So at that time, I would have to say Reggie Miller. Is it Reggie Miller?
Reggie Wayne. Reggie Wayne. Yeah.
Reggie Wayne.
Yeah, yeah.
Reggie Wayne. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Reggie Wayne. And
that's a good one.
That was when I was little. You know, that's when I was little, and I was playing quarterback a little time ago. So, you know, there was a lot going on there.
So what if your dad was a huge Colts fan and made you a Colts fan because of Peyton Manning? What was it like to have the sheriff in your locker room sharing a cigar with you after beating Alabama? What was that like? Jalen?
Oh no, it was unreal. You know, just really just seeing how Vol Nation, how we just took over the field. It took me maybe 30 minutes just to get to the locker room. Yeah, it was crazy. You know, and just seeing Peyton Manning, and you know, I actually seen him before.
Okay.
You know, being in here, I seen him. We were actually lifting together one time, which is actually crazy.
Lifting.
That was my first time meeting him here. Yeah.
Lifting.
Yeah, it was just yes, yeah. He was in the weight room when I came in, and he was already he was doing some stuff in the weight room, and I see him. Nobody else is in here, just Peyton Manning. And I was like, I'm lost. You know, I didn't know what to do. I was like, is this a dream or something? Or you know, but yeah, that was my first time.
How many plates was he putting up? How many plates was Peyton putting up? Do you remember?
You know, the crazy thing, he was doing some squats, which kind of threw me off guard because, you know, I know he retired, and, you know, I know as far as his career, you know, it's over with it. I'm thinking, you know, he's going to take a little break, and I come in, and he's doing squats with the bar. So, that day, you know, had me in shock. I didn't know what was going on, but.
Just the bar. Yeah. No plates on the bar. Just the bar.
Oh, no. He had some plates.
Okay.
He had two of them at least.
Okay.
Definitely 225 on there.
So you're just strolling, right? So you're just strolling into the weight room, and it's leg day for Peyton Manning. That's what you're basically saying to me.
It was during the off season. Okay. Nobody was here. You know, our coaches had, they were recruiting or, you know, had some off time. And I was here during the summer. So I come in one time just to lift, you know, and try to get a workout in. And, you know, he's in here squatting.
Damn.
So I was confused. I called my dad about it. I, you know, showed him, and it was crazy. It was crazy. But that was my first time meeting Peyton Manning as far as in person.
But so, what does it mean? It must mean so much for you to make Peyton that happy. I mean, the whole Volunteer Nation that happy. I mean, to see Rocky Top and to hear it sung and to hear seeing everything that's gone on with this year. And you're having an opportunity, you know, to still make the college football playoff. I mean, how significant is this for you and the rest of everyone in that locker room to be part of this resurgence, Jalen?
I think just as far as with Vol Nation, you know, just being around here, being on campus, you know, being in facility, just going out for game days, you know, ball walks, just everybody, it's alive here. You know, everybody loves being up here. The fans love it. Our players love it. Our coaches love it. It's an environment that I feel like a lot of people need to just experience. You know, just experience and see what Vol Nation is like. And I think for our team, it's giving us confidence. You know, it's showing us that we know what we can do on the field. And for us, we have to be consistent. We have to back it up every week to get to our goals. And I think it just made our team, you know, even more hungry, just seeing how alive it is here. And, you know, we're enjoying it, for sure.
I bet, man. Okay. Well, I'll ask you this question. I'm sure you've been asked it already, certainly locally there. Do you think you played your last home game in Tennessee, Jalen Hurts?
You know, that's a long thing. That's a long process I have to, you know, think about, you know, mm-hmm. just talking with my family, you know, talking with the coaches here, talking to Coach Pope, you know, Coach Hype, and, you know, obviously our offensive coordinator, you know, Coach Golish, and just seeing their feedback and what my family has to say, and, you know, we'll go from there. But, you know, I'm just worried about our season, worried about where we can go, and just worried about getting to that national championship, for sure.
Okay. Well, I look forward to seeing how it all plays out for you, Jalen Hyatt. Congrats on being a Walter Camp semifinalist. That is a very impressive list of your colleagues that you have made. And let's keep in touch down the line. Appreciate the time.
Man, I appreciate y'all, man. I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Right back at you. That's Jalen Hyatt of the Tennessee Volunteer Football Program. I think I saw the photograph of him with Peyton smoking a cigar.
It's pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah. Cigars were out as the goalposts were being taken to the river.
Take me to the river.
How about that? He said it took him a half an hour to get back to the locker. Answered his question. I was going to ask him how long, yeah, like what happened that day.
I believe it. That's awesome, man. Seen some mock drafts with him in the early 50s, Rich.
You know what? Second round wide receivers. You know who also from the state of South Carolina who was a second round wide receiver?
Yep.
Debo Samuel.
I heard of him.
That worked out. DK Metcalf was a second round wide receiver.
I heard of him.
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
just means you just wait another night.
Yep. All good.
Yeah. You're one of the top 50 players.
It works out.
To be considered by NFL scouts and
also, if you ball out early on, the team doesn't have that fifth year control over you.
That's true, too.
Also, we can't
say how that worked well for Debo.
Yeah.
You can't say it doesn't matter, though. I mean, there are
obviously
there are so many men probably with gold jackets because of the chips that they had on their shoulder because they weren't in that first one.
No doubt.
You know?
No doubt.
How about that? You're
Tom Brady, for instance.
You're walking in. Yeah, here it is. I got the photograph. Here, Hoskins, I'm going to send it to
you. Have you
and Tom? Pop it right on the air.
Hugging and
I with Peyton Manning, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think the Vols tweeted that out.
I just popped it. I just emailed it to you. It's just... It's life. I mean, his dad is a big Colts fan because of Peyton Manning, and suddenly, what a story!
Right?
Peyton Manning's doing leg day. How about that?
By himself in the gym.
Impressive.
Rich, can't skip leg day.
Yeah, you can.
Well, I mean, you can. I'm just saying.
Understood.
You shouldn't.
Right. And then you come up, you're part of a team, a part of a resurgence that is one of the delivers. When was the last time? What would you say a Tennessee fan said that this the last time they felt like this for a win?
Oh, for a win?
Like this.
Oh, man. It's got to be probably, 99 national championship, something like that, right?
A long time ago. Look at that picture.
That is so
Yeah,
sick.
I mean, that is
that's something that you
that
have
is an autograph that's Look blown that. Up, that gets framed, that
Dude,
gets
that
put
is
in
like
the crib.
Full length.
Look at that.
Full
Look
size on your wall at
yeah.
home. Like,
there it is, yeah. How you doing?
He'll never Manning. Take a cooler photo.
I love
never.
It.
Well, you know, hopefully for him, you know, he wins
that's a championship, yeah, Super Bowl, right? whatever.
Yeah, for the Indianapolis Colts that Jim Irsay finally gets Peyton Manning to.
But that's in his man cave or whatever mansion he's living in the next few years.
Team president. All right, let's take a break. Luis Guzman, it's been forever since he was
here. Forever, man. 7 years.
This is going to be a blast. He's been in everything that you love because he's great at it. He's coming up next.
Pachanga.
Influencer. It's a word that gets tossed around a lot these days. There is a woman who went the distance, who broke ground as the first true influencer by living a remarkable life. Her name, Elizabeth Taylor. I'm Katy Perry. This is the story of the original influencer. This is Elizabeth the First. Elizabeth the First, the podcast, wherever you listen.
The World Tournament of Soccer kicks off next week in Qatar, and to make sure you're up to speed, we present Qatar Kick Around. All this week, the Kick Around guys are providing a primer of episodes for those watching their very first World Tournament or anybody who just wants to learn more. And group previews all the way from A through H and predicting how they'll turn out. Will the U.S. even get out of their group? Will we get a surprise first-time winner? Or will we get the storybook ending of Messi finally lifting the trophy? Andy, Peter, and Lars are your soccer friends from the group stage to the final, all available at thekickaround.com or wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio audience just joined us. We just saw a clip of the new show on Netflix called Wednesday, and it premieres next Wednesday, November 23rd. It is Tim Burton's reimagination, one would say, of the Addams Family, and it's about Wednesday going off to boarding school and the man who plays Gomez Addams, Luis Guzman, here on the program. I mean, I watched the Addams Family growing up nonstop.
Oh, who didn't?
Right.
I mean, I watched the black and white version.
Yeah, John Astin played Gomez Addams.
I loved it.
Yeah, right.
And then when they did the movie, that was phenomenal. And here I am.
And now the TV show.
Yeah, yeah. Which is, like I said, you know, it's one of those generational things.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And it's a continuation, to me anyway, of a family legacy, which is what the Addams Family is.
Right. And there you are, and Catherine Zeta-Jones plays Morticia Addams. Nice pinstripe suit, too, Luis. Come on, man. That's pretty sweet. Is that your own? You brought your own wardrobe to the equation right there?
No, I wasn't good enough to bring my own wardrobe, sorry. But we had an incredible team of costume designers and tailors. I mean, they built that suit for
right.
me.
And have you ever been in anything? I'm looking at your filmography. I'm thinking the answer is no, but I'll ask you anyway. With Tim Burton, is this the first time you ever
No,
worked with
it
him?
Was first time. I was actually in Cardiff, Wales, and I got a phone call saying, Tim Burton wants to speak to you. Tim Burton? Yeah. So we Zoomed the next day and said, hey, man, doing this thing about the Addams Family. And I said, oh, wow, cool. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen next. And he said, I'd love for you to play Gomez. And I go, for real?
You're right. You're right.
Really?
Yeah.
And I go, okay. All right, let's do it. And I got the script. I read it. The writing was incredible. You know, the thing about this Addams Family, it's not about slapstick. You know, the writing is so good. It's so funny.
Yeah.
The delivery, and it makes it funny.
Yeah.
And that's what that's really what sold me.
And then the history of the character, John Astin, Raul Julia, right?
Yes, yes.
And Luis Guzman.
Yes, sir.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Tim Burton's vision as well. I mean, is he on something? Or what do you think?
Oh, man, he's out like some kind of creative juice all the time.
It's something, right?
Oh, yeah. And you know, look, it's Tim Burton has done some of the most iconic, out there, crazy-ass, like, what kind of movies?
Batman, the version of Batman.
Two of them.
Right, exactly.
You know, Edward Scissorhands, which is something that he really wanted to do and he had to fight for.
Beetlejuice, right?
Beetlejuice.
I love that movie.
You know, like I say, he's a genius in his own right. And for him to be inviting to me, and he's really down to earth. You know, I didn't know what to expect the first time that I met him.
Yeah,
it's one of the guys, man.
No kidding.
One of the guys.
Is he a Yankee fan too, or no?
I didn't ask him.
You never did. Because you're a Yankee fan, right?
I'm a Yankee fan all my life.
What'd you think of Judge this year?
Of who?
Aaron Judge this year.
Oh, Aaron Judge. Man, I'm really happy for him. You know, he's good. He's really good.
Dude, man, the 60-something home runs this year was unbelievable.
And
just watching.
I've met him a few times.
Okay.
Sweet, down to earth, really, really good human being.
And you met him, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. I hope he stays.
I think he is going to stay. He better stay. Because then, you know, I got to go back into my old closet and get my pachanga wardrobe and roll up on him. I said, come here. We got to talk, buddy. You know? But listen. He's a great athlete, but he's also a great human being. So,
now, are you from, where are you from originally?
I was born in Puerto Rico. Grew up in New York City.
Where in New York City?
We lived in the 60s. It was great because in the 60s, we lived in the West Village. And in 1970, we moved to the Lower East Side. And then in 1995,
yes,
I moved to Vermont. And I still live in Vermont.
Vermont?
Yeah.
Why'd you choose Vermont? Where did that come from?
Because I used to hang out in Vermont. It was a cool vibe up there. We had adopted four children, had one of our own. We had five kids, didn't see these kids growing up in the city, you know. And we moved up to Vermont, and we had a farm, and, you know, everybody learned how to ski and snowboard.
Sounds like a reality show.
Yeah. Well, actually, they tried to do a reality show
on
about
the Guzmans?
On the Guzman family. It just didn't pan out. You know, I just wanted to protect my family and our privacy.
Okay. Do you make your own, like, syrup up there?
Maple
stuff like
syrup. Matter of fact, we'll send you some maple syrup.
Yes.
Okay? And my daughter...
I don't take that as a threat. I mean,
no,
I want
No, are you
it.
Kidding me?
Okay.
You know, and my daughter, Luna, she does honeybees. So, yeah.
You're not doing that in the Lower East Side, are you?
No, we're not. I think, unfortunately, sometimes on the Lower East Side, we're dodging other things. But... No, we'll send you guys some maple syrup.
Okay.
That's a promise.
I got to have it.
Yeah, you will.
Okay, we're going to do that. I have here, sir, parts of your aspects of your career.
Okay.
We play this game with our celebrity guests every now and then. It's called Celebrity True or False. You need to tell me what's true and what is false.
Okay.
Okay, if we will do that. And we have some terrific production value to go with it. Please hit it.
Celebrity True or False.
You can't handle the truth.
All right, there you go. That's the production value right there. Luis Guzman, celebrity true or false? True or false, you were once considered for the role of Willie Lopez in Ghost, and your resemblance to the man who got the job in Rick Avilés is so uncanny, people sometimes ask you why you killed Patrick Swayze's character. True or false?
That's both true and false.
Okay, what's the true part?
The true part, people really thought I was Willie.
Okay.
The false part is that they offered me the part.
You never had that part offered
to you? I never had that part. I never even auditioned. They never even saw me for it. To this day, you and I could be walking through an airport, through a mall, today, and why'd you kill Patrick Swayze? What was it like working with Whoopi? Honestly, if I got a nickel,
get out of here.
Since that began, I probably owned this studio, an island, in a couple of private planes, I swear.
So you've been in so many amazing movies, TV shows, and so many amazing projects, and you get recognized frequently for one that you were never in and never offered at all.
Right, right. Don't ask me how that happened. Listen, I was in Detroit one time changing planes.
Yes.
90-year-old lady comes up to me, oh my God, I love you in Ghost. I felt so bad. And I explained, no. That was someone else. Mm-hmm. And then she goes, well, what might have I seen you in? And I go, did you ever see The Count of Monte Cristo? I love that movie. That was such a great movie. Said, well, I was Jacopo. And then she goes, no, you wasn't in that. So it was from that moment on that I say, you know what? I'm always going to be the guy in Ghost. I mean, people... Thank you.
Yes, you should say thanks, right?
That's it.
Move on.
That's it. Thank you. I loved you in Ghost. Hey, thanks.
It's interesting. For the 90-year-old woman you chose, Count of Monte Cristo, you didn't say Boogie Nights to her, huh?
No. Nah, that would have been a heart attack waiting to happen.
So that's my next one for you. Celebrity True or False with Luis Guzman. True or False, you were sent the script for Boogie Nights, but it sat in your office for 6 months until you uncovered it while you were cleaning up. Is that true or false?
That is true.
Get out of here.
Wow. That is true. Well, you know, I mean, I didn't know who Paul Thomas Anderson was, of course. You know, he was an up-and-coming filmmaker. And so, also, when you have five kids, and they were small at the time, they take up a lot. I put it in my office, and one day I'm cleaning it out, and I said, oh, man, I haven't read this guy's script. I sat down, I read it in one reading. I called them up. The first word, dude, they're going to let you make this movie?
Yeah, right.
Because it was out there, you know? And we get into talking. I go, how old are you? And he mumbled something. I go, okay, you're 35. He said, no, I'm 25. I said, what? You know, because when I read it, he captured that era. So well.
Oh my God, did he? That movie for me, Luis, is what I call a remote drop. It doesn't matter where I am or what I'm doing, I have to just finish it.
Oh yeah.
No matter where I'm picking it up. It is an opus. It really is.
Oh yeah.
That amazing. What was it like on the set? Did you feel it on the set that this was a movie like that?
You know, I knew that I was working on something really special because, you know, you looked at the cast of that movie. But the moment that I said to myself, wow, was the opening shot of that movie. We rehearsed it the night before. Didn't shoot anything.
Right.
Got a guy coming off a crane, running down the street with a Steadicam, following Burt Reynolds, Julian Moore, myself, into the club. We rehearsed that the whole first night. Then the second night, we rehearsed half the night. I don't think we got the first shot off till like 2-3 in the morning. And I think we did maybe 6-7 takes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. It was it was at that moment I said, wow, man, this guy has an incredible vision. But you know what? Credit to Paul, man. He's a wonderful, wonderful, great writer and a great director too, man. I mean, you know, just to have that type of shot done.
Yeah, right.
And then he did the same thing in Magnolia.
Yeah.
You know, going through the studio to the elevator, back up, back down, and stuff like that.
It's old school. It really is old school. Yeah. It's amazing.
And I appreciate, I believe he still shoots film. Not too many directors do that.
Do you got a good Burt Reynolds story that you can share?
Okay, Burt, rest in peace. This is the story. So Mark used to kind of try to bribe me into pulling his wig off.
Wahlberg.
Wahlberg.
Pulling Burt Reynolds' wig off.
Like me.
Yes.
Like
yes, you would be the
one. You
know?
Okay. And he said, he won't hit you, Lou. He won't hit you. And it's like, I came this close a couple of times, never did it. Never. No, I couldn't do it.
Mm.
Oh, no. $1,000 couldn't get me to do it.
That's how much, how is he bribing you? Like, with
that's
money?
How much was on the table, plus maybe 3-4 pairs of sneakers.
That would have did it for me.
But Mark back in those days had like 300 pairs of sneakers, and we both wore the same size. So,
so Wahlberg offered you $1,000. Yeah. And some of his sneakers to pull Burt Reynolds' wig
off. And I was like, nah.
But you entertained it.
And I would walk behind Burt and make it like I was like, nah. Oh,
wow.
But, you know, Burt, to his credit, Burt showed me like a lot of love, you know, and I show the respect back.
Luis Guzman here on the Rich Eisen Show. A couple more for you here, celebrity true or false, Luis. And Carlito's Way. Pechanga's lines were originally written in phonetically spelled, heavy-accented slang that offended some of the crew members of Latino descent, so the lines were rewritten in standard English, and you were directed to improvise some slang. Is that true or false on that front?
Yeah, I improvised everything, and I improved everything. And one of the lines that I did was, we were doing ADR, and Brian De Palma, who directed it.
Incredible director.
He said, can you say something here?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's the scene where Carlito's dying. And I, you know, this is after he'd been shot by Benny Blanco. And I looked at him and I dropped in the line says, it bees that way sometimes. But that was a real thing that we used to say in the neighborhood, that the older guys would say. You know, if you complain about something, they would look at you and say, it bees that way. So, yeah. But, you know,
that was improvised from your upbringing. You brought it to the table.
Yeah, I did. That was Luis Guzman, courtesy of the great poet, writer that I grew up with in the neighborhood named T.C. Garcia.
So. Mm. Damn. You got a good Pacino story for me.
A good Pacino story. Yeah. So one day, you know, we're doing that scene when Viggo Mortensen rose into the office.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to go from upstairs. Oh no, I had something. It was seen that I was downstairs. The camera starts on me.
Yeah.
And then Al's in the office. He walks out. He's coming down the stairs. I'm running up the stairs and it's total darkness. You can't see anything. So I think on the second take, so the first time some guy walks by me, I made up. Second time, the guy's in my way. And I grab him and I push him to the side and said, get the hell out of my way. I got to get up there. I did not realize that was Al. That was Al. I was like, get out of my way, dude. Gotta hit my mark. And then Al goes, okay, I'm not going to get in your way this time. So what are you talking about? That was me. Almost took out. That really happened, you know. Yeah, and I gotta tell you when you remember that scene when he pulled the wire on Viggo, and I'm standing outside the office, you know, waiting for my cue to come in. Viggo was so real in that, like I was really feeling bad for this guy, and I'm listening to this. And all of a sudden, it's like, Lou, snap back into it. They get in character. You got to. I almost forgot my cue.
No kidding.
Because I was feeling so bad about this guy talking about, you know, he got to pee into a bag. You know, he can't.
He can't walk.
Am I allowed to say this? He can't get it up anymore. All these things, you know. And it's like, and I'm outside the door. Damn, it's bad for this guy, man. It's bad. Oh, and I got to come in. And then I got to come in, and Carlito tells me, yo, he's got to why? And I pull out my Glock, my gun, and say, oh, let's take him out right now. So, you know, and that's when, no. So,
love yeah. it. That's so great. Last one here, I know is true, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because I think you told it the last time you were here. And this is a new audience for us here on the Roku channel. True or false, Luis Guzman, you still have the prop head used in the car explosion in traffic, and you will drive around with it in the passenger seat to freak people out. Look at that photograph. There it is.
Oh, yeah. So
that's true.
Yes, very true. Very true. Sometimes I'll be in town, and I'm like arguing with it. And people like will do like a double take. And I'll be, don't get involved. I got this. And I'll be like, don't you dare talk back to me. You said what? Oh, yeah? Well, you know what? You're going to pack up your stuff tonight, and you're going to leave. I'm going to drop you off at the bus stop. And please, ma'am, don't get involved. I got this. It's family here, you know? But I do drive around with that.
Did you get into the the diamond lane so you can use? You got two people in the car.
We don't have to worry about that in Vermont.
No. But so you do that in Vermont is what you're saying. You're driving around in Vermont.
Yeah.
My gosh. There's no carpool lane in Vermont.
No, not that I know of.
Did Soderbergh give it to you, or did you ask for it?
How'd you get that? I think it was both because you know what happened was they had that one in case they didn't grab it. You know, on the first take.
Sure.
They got everything and it showed up. It's still in my closet, you know? It's still in my closet. I look at it. Once in a while, I take it out, comb the hair a little bit, you know, do the mustache.
You got to maintain.
Yeah. You know, put a little makeup on it, you know, stuff like that.
Fantastic. Again, I mean, just think about it. I'm asking you about Paul Thomas Anderson, Brian De Palma, Soderbergh, Tim Burton, your current project, Pacino. Burt Reynolds, my God. And then the most you get pegged is for a movie you were in.
I'm telling you.
By the way, so everybody, this man was not in Ghost. Back off Luis Guzman when you meet him.
And if you ask me if I was in Ghost, have a nickel ready, please. Have a nickel. At least a nickel.
Have a nickel. Oh, my gosh. Wednesday premieres next week on Wednesday, November 23rd, only on Netflix. Gomez Adams is the role played by Luis Guzman. A delight, sir. Hopefully it will not be another 6 years till I see you next time.
For sure. And thank you for being the best dad ever.
You know what? I know we're in a battle royale for that title.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you letting me have it right for this moment. I appreciate it.
And thank you for having me, bro.
Anytime. You know that. You're right back at you. Luis Guzman here at Louis from the Hood on Instagram. Check him out right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Look at that. I love it. At least you buckle your head in.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
That's it.
You ain't going nowhere.
Click it, no ticket.
Yeah, baby. Look at that hair.
Veterans Day comes every year, but companies rarely thank veterans in a way that is meaningful. Of all of us, veterans deserve to be thanked the most. They serve to keep us safe. And that deserves also some meaningful gratitude and appreciation at Navy Federal Credit Union. Every day is Veterans Day. Navy Federal Credit Union is committed to veterans and helping them live their lives to the fullest. Navy Federal Credit Union offers resources like the VA Loans Hub and Best Cities After Service. Navy Federal Credit Union also offers veteran employment assistance partnerships with nonprofits like The Mission Continues. Plus, Navy Federal Credit Union is a top VA home loan lender. They offer personal finance, counseling, as well as 24/7 member service. Navy Federal Credit Union has a growing community of over 1.8 million veterans like you. When we say thank you, we mean it. Navy Federal Credit Union. Learn more at NavyFederal.org/veterans. Insured by NCUA, an equal housing lender. How delightful was that, man?
So awesome.
Awesome.
The best.
Such a Which one of you guys knew the line were you about to say from Carlito's Way?
Was me.
Yes.
Oh. TJ, I've watched Carlito's Way.
Yeah,
I mean, if I have, if I haven't watched that movie 60 times, and I've never watched it once, like
La Ling,
doing 30 years in Attica, man, 30 years,
30 years.
Is that any? And that's is that even in Pacino's top five?
No, that's hard. It's hard. It's.
I love it. It's one of my favorite Pacino.
Pacino top five. Go.
Godfather. Two.
Both Godfather.
One and two.
I say just two.
Get out of here.
I got out of here, Mike. Because I got him a Scent of a Woman in there.
It's so better than one?
Mike Del Tufo, Scent of a Woman knocks the Godfather out of
the Academy Al
Pacino's
Award.
Top five.
But that was like a...
That was his like lifetime achievement award.
Come on.
Scent of a Woman, Godfather 2.
Come on.
Serpico, Dog Day Afternoon. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, you got to put those.
Scarface? You even mentioned Scarface.
Yeah,
you
the Godfather eat. One does not get Pacino.
That's ridiculous. That's absurd. That's absurd, I must say.
Number one.
All right, I ask you.
Also, though,
it's both Godfathers, then what? The Dog Day Afternoon.
I do like Scent of a Woman, but I don't know if that's them.
I think Heat. What about Heat?
Oh, and then you got Heat. Dude, you guys can't put both Godfathers in the top five. That's why you can't.
Why not?
You can't.
You absolutely can. You absolutely can.
You got to have Heat in there for me. Heat has to be in there.
There's too many other people in The Godfather Part 1, though.
I mean, that's the other thing. Like, Mike's got a point. Yeah. Like, Godfather, like Brando, he's not number James one on the call sheet. It's not his movie.
It's
so
not his
if you want to talk
what
about, like,
when
the movie's over, you're like, this guy's the biggest star.
Yeah, and two, you would say that, but you wouldn't say that in one. You wouldn't say,
whose
like,
whose movie is it in one? Brando?
I think it's Brando's.
And he's probably got
Jimmy
more screen time.
Khan.
He's got more screen time than both of them in that movie.
Yo, don't forget Donnie Brasco.
Oh, yeah, and that's the other one.
It's like he's got so many. You can't put both Godfather. That's what
yes,
I
you
argue.
Can.
And I love Pacino.
Devil's Advocate?
Devil's Advocate. I just watched that a couple
Come
weeks
on,
ago.
Come on, man. You got to put Any Given Sunday above Devil's Advocate.
That's another one.
That's another ensemble movie. But
right.
He's got so many.
Look, Carlito is great, and that's one of my all-time favorites. But Pacino's like on my Mount Rushmore too.
Did you just call Any Given Sunday a system movie? Is that what you're saying? Is that a system movie?
He was awesome in The Irishman.
I know.
By the way, I've never seen that.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I know. I just have never gotten around to see it.
But yeah,
never gotten around to see it. What a fun show!
Ocean's 13.
Oh God.
Carlito Brigante.
I have. By the way, today was great. I almost feel like I'm not jet lagged. That's how good today was.
It's coming back.
That's because Luisa gave us a little jolt of energy.
Tomorrow is going to be great because I'm going to hopefully get some sleep tonight. Continuous sleep tonight. I really will. And tomorrow's show scheduled guests Nick Bosa, Stephen Colbert, because a pickleball special, a celebrity pickleball comedy special, is tomorrow night on CBS. Up against the Thursday night football game. So Stephen Colbert and Andrea Savage will be here.
Oh.
And Ron Rivera is on the program. That's tomorrow.
Wow. That's tomorrow.
We'll do it live.
Andrea Savage tomorrow. Look presentable, boys.
And up next,
we might wear
Sting
a clean shirt tomorrow
to play us out.
My friend from I'm Sorry. What are you doing? You've got 3 minutes to go.
I know. I was just joking. Was I playing music?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You were about to.
He was about to. He's out of it. I do want to say this. I do want to say this real quick. I've got about 3 minutes here, because I used the word "shattered" to describe Derek Carr when I reposted my, if you will, take on the Raiders' disastrous loss to the Colts. Just seeing his, post game press conference, and him basically in tears over being 2-7, and talking about all the. I guess things or what we don't see behind the scenes that they're trying to do just so they can practice and get out there, in the NFL when you're hurt or you're trying to get out there. And I use the word shattered, and people are kind of pushing back on that. Because the Raiders Nation is, we're kind of in the same pirate ship this year. I have no rooting interest for the Raiders other than just wanting to be right, because I picked them to win the division and I did it.
In them.
I did it from the minute Davante Adams showed up, middle of March. And I don't mean that to to say that that Carr is not strong or anything like that. I'm sensing that pushback. But when I say shattered, I mean, here's a guy who last year was the emotional rock for this team when so much was happening. And now here he is 9 games into a new tenure, and he's an emotional puddle. And if I'm Josh McDaniels, I've got to pull him aside and just make sure he's okay. Because you need him. I don't think he's lost, but I'm just wondering what the hell is happening there. One last moment just to wonder, but I'm just kind of pushing back on the pushback. That's a shattered guy. I'm not saying that he can't put himself back together and try and win a game in Denver, by the way. Not an easy place to win at all.
Tough game.
It is. That defense is no joke that they're going to go take on.
Yep.
And if Josh Jacobs can't slice through them like he did the last time, they're going to wind up being 2-8 and in deep last place in that division with 7 games to go. So, I mean, this is not the way I saw the Raiders season playing out. But I don't think that Carr is irredeemable and shattered as a viable leader on this team. I think he's trying to show the way here. And I think he's fumbling for the light switch like the rest of us on this Raiders team. We'll see everybody else on Roku to wrap this show up and Thursday otherwise.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
Ramit Sethi, talking about being rich.
The old definition of rich had a lot to do with how much money you accumulated, but it wasn't about how to spend it. It was more about how to get it. But okay, so once you get it, what do you do with it?
In our culture, everybody tells you how to save, but nobody teaches you how to spend it.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.